and welcome to In The Box, the England football podcast that is here to help inspire and equip all of us involved in the grassroots game.
Today we're in Greater Manchester, here at the home of Ashton United FC, and we're here to talk about the most vital part of grassroots football. Yes, that's right. It's a dedicated and passionate workforce of volunteers.
And Tom, we've already been given a warm welcome, but should we have a little explore and find someone to talk to?
Absolutely. Let's go, Charlotte. Well, it's wonderful to be joined by our first guest. For those of you that have been part of the podcast or the Extra Time webinars for some time, you'll recognise this individual here. It is the one and only Steve Hobson, yeah. FA Club Consultant as part of the club programme at England Football and the FA, but also got a role here at Ashton United. Will you just tell us a little bit more about that, Steve?
Yeah, I'm the Vice Chairman here at Ashton United. I'm also the Project Manager for Ashton United in the community.
It's a fantastic role. It gives you lots to do throughout the week. But before we learn about the volunteering hours that you put into the football club, tell us a little bit about Ashton United and its history.
Yeah, Ashton United now is 1878. So my maths get me right. That's something like 120 odd years, I think, 130 nearly. I can't add up.
A long time, that's
for sure. I can't add up. But we've been on this ground. It's one of the longest continued played on grounds in the world. We've been here for pretty much most of that time. And it's quite tough, you know, keeping it ship shape.
For those listening and tuning in, Steve, just give us a bit of an understanding of the size of the club and where the club's at today.
Size, most people will measure clubs' size on the attendances. So in that case, we're a very, very small club. Our attendance is only about 300, 350. But we're in an area that's got a glut of non-league football teams, as well as all the professional teams, your Man United and your Man Cities, your Oldhams, your Rochdales, your Berries, your Boltons. They're all within our catchment area here. So there's quite a lot of competition. So we are a small club, but we're not a club, we're a family.
Well, on the subject of being a family, Ashton United is about a lot more than just a match day, and it leads me on to ask you a little bit about the work that you do within the community and the schemes that you run. Tell us a bit about that, how it was set up, how long it's been going on for, and what you do on a day-to-day weekly basis here in Greater Manchester.
Yeah, and I've been at the club about 12 years, but prior to my arriving at the club, the club itself was an integral part of this community. And when I came in, I had experience of setting up charitable incorporated organisations. And so I spoke to the directors and I said, look, we need to do that here so we can actually give more back to the community with the right governance structure. Once we'd set that up, we were then able to reach out further. With COVID coming, our plans just accelerated so much. We ended up setting up a food pantry here at the club, and then that expanded. We now have a luncheon club. We do skills and drill sessions in the local community for kids. We also have what's called Literacy Kicks program, which is where we engage the services of a journalist who goes and does a six-week program in the schools and engages children with reading and writing through sports journalism. And at the end of that, they come back to us here at the football club. We give out welfare vouchers to local people. There's a whole array of different things that we do. And it really enhances our standing in the local community.
And talking about that support to the local community, you couldn't do that without what we're talking about on this episode, the lifeblood, the volunteers. Give us a bit of a flavour about how many volunteers contribute towards them activities that the club do, as well as those that make a match day happen here.
We've got, across the board, we've got about 80 registered volunteers. We've got some doing 2 or 3 hours, others doing 20, 30 hours a week. They're absolutely the lifeblood of this club and of this community. We're in a community that's in the top 2% most deprived in England, and local people haven't really got much money. But what they have got is that warmth and willingness to help each other. So all we do, we act as the catalyst to get that moving.
You act as a catalyst. That is so clear to see already and learn from you. You've done so much in a relatively short space of time, but what does the future look like? What areas would you like to get involved in more as a football club?
I don't think there's not many more areas we want to get involved in. We speak to our users and our beneficiaries, and they tell us what they want. So it's not so much us planning the future, it's listening to what the need is locally and then meeting that need.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for having us here. Thank you for telling us about the football club. It's given us a real good flavour as we head towards our team talk to find out more about the volunteers and their roles to helping this place tick day in, day out. Well, it was great to hear from Steve and to learn more about Ashton United. And we know that the bloodline of any football club is, of course, its volunteers. And I'm delighted to say that Steve is back alongside us. And next to him is Lewis, who volunteers his time at the football club. Thank you both so much for joining us. First things first, guys, tell us a little bit about your role at the club, the hours you spend volunteering, and what it was about Ashton United that enticed you to get involved. Lewis, do you want to go first?
I basically do as many hours as possible as I can when I'm available. I suppose the aspects of it, I don't really like mainstream football, and this is my localish club to me, so I thought I'd come down and see what I could get involved in, and I've been here forever.
I was going to say, I'm told that your list of jobs and what you do is endless, so perhaps give us a flavour of maybe what the average day looks like for you when you volunteer. Is there ever an average day when you're a volunteer?
There's always something. So if it's not a game day, we've got emptying the bins, maintaining the ground, anything needs repairing, anything needs cleaning. And then on game days, mainly stewarding, sell raffle tickets and programmes. That's my job.
Absolutely incredible. Steve, volunteers like Lewis are like gold dust, and we'll come on to that in a little while. But you're the vice chair here. How did you get involved? What gave you that sort of buzz to give up your time to the football club?
I think I was crossing the car park at the wrong time is what did it for me. It's a typical non-league. Funnily enough, it's a club that I actually made my debut for in non-league football at age 16 and a half. And it stays with you all your life. And then I was in about 10 years, 12 years ago, I'd left one club and unfortunately went to the wall, and I was looking for another club, and Ashton rang me up and said, did you fancy getting involved here? And the rest is history. I put quite a lot of hours into this, mainly away from the club. We have volunteers that here at the ground doing practical things. They won't let me loose doing anything practical because I'll end up smashing it up. So I stay at home and I write grants, to do all the paperwork, all that kind of stuff.
And I suppose that balance is really important. Of you've got people like Lewis that will give up his time on a game day or days through the week to make sure it's match day ready, and then you've got yourself that's making sure there's a platform for volunteers like Lewis to come and feel part of that community.
Yeah, we've got a whole gambit of jobs and roles to do across medias. We've got the customer service. We've got running the club, running the pantry, doing coaching. I think Lewis is underselling himself, actually, when he says what he does, because he gets involved in absolutely everything. He's helping out at our luncheon club. He's helping out with our skills and drills, delivering coaching. And he's one of quite a considerable number who just put their heart and soul into this club. And without them, we just would not exist.
Well, Lewis, we can tell already that there's a real family here at the football club. You give up your time to the club, but in return, I get the sense that the club gives you a lot as well.
Oh, yeah, it's proper aspects, like always people to talk to. And then I suppose it gives me something to keep me occupied instead of just being in trouble. Like in school, I think if it wasn't for the club, I maybe probably would have been a bit of a rebel. But it's given me like... And then when I first started, I refused to talk. I'd just been there wouldn't say a thing. And now I've just got the aspects of like socialising. And I suppose it does give you like job aspects of like, you want to move on to higher levels you possibly could.
Would you have believed when you joined the club that one day you'd be speaking like you are on an England football podcast even? It seems
God,
to
no, I hate public speaking.
And look at you now, that's incredible. And volunteering has made that happen for you.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
And obviously, it's people like yourself, Lewis. There's hundreds, or if not thousands, of individuals like yourself out there that make football happen week in, week out for us. And obviously, the full infrastructure around it, don't often appreciate it. So type of things you do here, Steve, to like reward and recognise the volunteers you've got?
Well, one of the first things we do is when a volunteer comes to the club, we actually interview them and we find out why they've actually joined us. And it's for a whole array of reasons. Some might just want to do it for social reasons. Others may want to gain experience, say the media team, for example. Others want to do it for the job on the CV. And we try and meet those needs. So that's the primary focus for us. And again, when a volunteer comes to the club, the first thing we do is we take them, we introduce them to everyone on the ground and say, welcome, this is our new volunteer. So if they get that welcome, they'll come back the second time. We run courses, we do first aid courses, we do safeguarding courses, deaf awareness, stroke awareness. And what we find is that our volunteers like coming along to the courses because it's a bit of a social occasion as well. And then probably once or twice a year, we'll do a volunteer recognition evening where they all come together, we'll present any certificates and what have you, and they get a chance to bond as a team. And it's creating that family atmosphere within the club that helps us retain our volunteers.
I really like that idea of the compatibility between the volunteer and the roles that they can contribute to a football club as well. I think that's really, really important. And Lewis, you mentioned earlier that when you joined the club, there was perhaps a little bit of anxiety. You said you didn't really speak a word back then.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of people listening that might have those same anxieties or might feel a little bit shy, not know or have the confidence to go to their local non-league club or club across the football pyramid. What words of advice would you give to someone listening?
Just go for it. Like, you're not forced to do anything. It's like, it's your choosing. Like, if you don't want to do it, you do not have to do it. But if you are shy, it's like, you're always welcomed in.
It sounds like you've got a fantastic infrastructure support around you, Lewis.
Oh yeah, it's not just a one-man team. You're always chipping in with something, or you've always got help.
Fantastic. Steve, challenging question. If there was a transfer market around the volunteer workforce and space, what value would you put on Lewis?
Priceless.
I thought it would be.
I thought that would be your
absolutely
answer as well.
Lewis and everyone like him.
And get 240 signing bonus.
You're a good negotiator, yeah. Lewis. That's another skill that you can bring to
this.
The
is a problem
club
with Lewis now. Once he was very quiet, now we can't shut him up.
Well, look, a final question to you both, because we can see how much passion you have for the football club and how it feels like a family to you. What would you say has been your standout highlight volunteering? Lewis, I'll come to you first.
You've stumped me on
I've
that one.
I've stumped you. Is it just, I suppose, like how you answered the very first question, it's having that sort of safe space to come to and the sense of you are here more or less like pretty much
every single
day? I
probably
want to
say that, yeah.
Steve, how about you? Any standout moments?
It's the difference that we're making to people's lives, not only within the football club, but beyond. And then taking Lewis as an example, he was very quiet and quite shy when he first came in. And we're seeing the likes of Lewis blossoming into really fabulous human beings, and but that's right across the range of younger people coming to us. We'll take older people as well, and it's quite exciting to see that happening. Beyond that, we were quite insular, so the volunteers were all based in and around Hurst Cross. Following COVID, we found ourselves reaching out more into the community, and we're now starting to embrace our fans and the our neighbours, and that is great to see that blossoming as well.
Particularly in a challenging area, like you say, with the amount of clubs and people around, giving them a real sense of purpose and community and belonging.
Yeah, one of the outcomes that we've noticed is that as we've worked with people outside the club, we've helped them set their own charities up. So our food pantry that started here now operates independently of the football club, and we help them get charitable status. We're doing the same with a local friends group in a local park, and also with our luncheon club.
So obviously it's the power of volunteers, Steve, reaching out beyond football and further into their communities, and exactly what you're doing here at Ashton United. So we're going to go inside now and see who else we can talk to. Well, you've heard how many volunteers I've got here at Ashton United. So Charlotte's actually gone off to find some volunteers outside. We've come inside into the warmth, and I'm now joined by Sarah onto the podcast, which you'll all be familiar with. And we're joined by both Luke and Eric. Welcome to the podcast. First and foremost, Luke, we'll start with yourself. Tell us your role or roles and what it is you do for this wonderful football club.
So my official role within the club is the chairman of the supporters club. I took over that in August last year and basically decided to shake it up a little bit because stagnant's probably the wrong word, but it got into a routine and wasn't going anywhere. So we went on a big recruitment drive. We brought loads of new people into the club, We changed up the transport to away games, the atmosphere around home games, you know, having a bit of a routine on a match day, getting people together both on match days and outside of match days. And most importantly, strengthening the relationship between the first team players, the first team management and the supporters, just to try and bring everybody in the club together rather than it being us and them on one side of the fence and the other.
I know you've got some fantastic top tips and examples, so we'll pause that there and we'll come back to them for sure. And Eric, quite new to the club. What's the role? What is it you're up to?
Well, I started in September, and one of the main reason I started was because my grandson, 11 years old, he's played for Ashton United youth teams for 3 years, and he's had a season ticket, and I've had to bring him occasionally. And I've never been to Ashton United. I live 5 minutes away from the ground. And decided, watching the football, it was really good. And I'm a Manchester City supporter, and I've been going to Manchester City for years. And this was an eye-opener. So I started watching the games, became a season ticket holder 2 years ago. And then, because I'm retired, I get a notification from Retirement Magazine, and they're looking for volunteers. And I thought, wow, great. I'm here. I come to the game. I'm 5 minutes away. Why not? So I come, I volunteer.
I don't blame you being a Man City fan coming to watch some decent football. Yeah, we can say that as Man United fans ourselves. Only kidding. Luke, tell us a little bit more about this supporters association, particularly an example around when the new pitch was laid by the chairman.
So obviously the chairman's invested a lot of money out there on the new playing surface. It's been needed for a long time. Off the top of my head, I don't think it's been done for about 40, 45 years. It's just been patch it up, literally first aid kit on the pitch. Let's see what we can do. Around this time of year, normally you can't walk on the pitch. And as you've just seen, we've had a tractor going up and down it for the last 5 or 6 hours. The new surface came in. We ripped up about 40 mil off the top of it, completely covered it in sand, sowed all the seed. All we needed to do then was the grass to grow, and it didn't rain for 5 weeks.
Typical.
So we've got two sprinklers here at the moment, which chuck out water on maybe a 5 metre radius. It's a lot of times to move that sprinkler to get the pitch done. And with it being so hot, we couldn't put it down during the day. It just evaporated straight away. We were wasting water. So we started doing it in the evenings. We had the bar open, the decking open. Supporters and their kids coming along. Kids love running in and out of sprinklers. They were on there moving the sprinklers till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for the best part of a month, until the weather finally broke and we got some rain. And eventually the pitch slowly, very slowly, started to come together again.
What a wonderful example of obviously a supporters association volunteering their time for the club to make sure the first team had a beautiful surface to go on and play on.
Well, we actually, as a supporters club, we decided to create a link between the board of directors and the supporters, so that any issues that wanted to be raised to the board could be done so in a meeting environment as opposed to on Facebook or Twitter. And we made a promise at the start of the season that we were going to give them 1,000 hours of voluntary work from the supporters club. And after 28 days, we've done that.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And for yourself, Eric, your duties look slightly different in terms of what your life is as a volunteer. Can you give us a bit of a day in the life of your role?
Yeah, I arrive a couple of hours before the beginning of the game and basically introduce the directors from the opposing team, the referees, linesmen. Give them a cup of tea, make sure they're happy and that they're all nice and comfortable at Ashton United. They're all welcome, no matter who they are. And they have a sandwich at half time, and they can watch the game from within the club. And it's great speaking to people. But the one of the things is about the club itself is, and I think you've heard it already, is that... when I came to the club, it was, I'm an outsider. I didn't, you know, I was a paying guest. I was a supporter. Now I'm a volunteer, but soon as I came as a supporter, I was welcomed into the club. I didn't know Luke. I know Luke. I didn't know Steve. I know Steve. There's lots of people who I now know, other supporters who you see regularly around the streets of Hurst Cross. And I think that's the main thing. And it's one of the best things I get out of the club, is meeting the people.
And I guess it's not just the volunteers of like Luke and Steve in this football club, but the role that you undertake is meeting other people like yourselves in the other clubs around this area and obviously within the leagues that you play in?
Yeah, it's almost ambassadorial. It's, yeah. You know, you're Alex Williams at City and that sort of thing. It, I mean, I wouldn't rise to those dizzy heights of Alex Williams, but it is, you represent the club and also you're introducing yourself to those people. So those people look at you. They might not speak to all the people in the club, but they look at you and you're the one who they will come to if whilst they're here, or may come to whilst they're here. Them coming at the end of the game and saying, thanks very much, it's been great. If they come to me personally and say that, I'm pleased as punch. It's great. That's what I get out of the club. But I also want to put into the club. And hopefully, as the future goes on, I'll do more and get more into the club. I've not been here that long to get my feet under the table that late.
Well, I can see Steve making a note that you're going to know more. So.
He's writing a list over there.
He's in it now.
No, I was really intrigued when you were talking then, and as you being new to the club as well, was there a moment that you were hooked and you were like, right, I'm in now, I've committed? And was there something about how they welcomed you in or that first experience that you had that really made that difference for you?
I think it was as soon as I came in and I was interviewed and I was asked about what I thought of things of the club. Obviously wanting to know what my thoughts are on the club and things like that. And it's great when you're a new person to be asked what you think of something. Because part of the interview process to try and find out what you're like and whether you'll fit into the club or whatever, and what you can bring to the club. That's the main thing, I think, is what you can bring in. But it's not just about that, it's what you can give as well. But that's the point where I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to like this. It's good. It's been part of the club. And I say, I'm new to the non-league football, but I think it's awesome. So much so that I'd rather come and watch here than go and watch Manchester City now.
So would I.
No, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because we all see the professional game and we all do enjoy watching the professional game. But the community feel that you get at a place like this, and look for yourself, I think it was your father that introduced you and volunteered here as well, and you've sort of followed.
It was, yeah. So I've been helping out at my local cricket club and rugby club because I like cutting grass. It's a weird hobby that people have got, but I enjoy it. And when you finish up and you look at what it looks like when you've finished, it's quite satisfying. And it was, I remember the game actually, it was Warrington Town away. We won 1-0. It was a fantastic goal scored by John Pritchard on a Tuesday night. And my dad sent me to speak to Andy Finnegan, who's the club secretary, round the back of the other goal from where we were stood. And I just said to him, is there any chance I can come and help out a bit at the football club? And he said, yeah, come up 9 o'clock Monday morning, we'll find you something to do. I said, well, I can't do Monday morning, I'm going to work. So then it was Saturday morning, so thrown straight in at the deep end on a match day, getting involved. And then slowly but surely, now my work-life balance has changed. I've started to spend more and more time at the club, to the point where I'm here now 7 days a week.
That's amazing. It truly is. I think to finish this element in this section then, because you said there you get so much more out of it. What, and you're right, honestly, this conversation, your eyes have lit up with the stories and stuff that you had. What one thing would you say to people out there that are considering potentially volunteering? Why should they do it?
Go and try it. First of all, go and tip your toes in the water. You're not signing a contract with anybody. You're not going promising that you can do something to a certain standard. Go along, stand there for 10 minutes and watch what other people do and think, do you know what, I'd like to try that, I'd like to try that, or I'd like to try that. There's probably 10 or 15 jobs need doing around any non-league football ground at any given moment in time. There's always something of anybody of any skill level to be able to do. And if you do it wrong, nobody's going to shout at you. They'll just go and help you along, show you how to do it better, or tidy up behind you. But sometimes if you're out there doing a job like Nick today on that tractor, he's going up and down all on his own. Nobody else needed to be at the ground for that job to be done. But the fact that he can get off, have a brew made for him, or someone to talk to when he's having a brew, that's just as useful as actually coming along and being able to do a job. So go and try it. Step through the door, ask some questions and see what's going on. And I guarantee if you do, then you'll start to enjoy it.
Yes, walk into your local club. Walk in and speak to people. If you do that, then I'm sure that they'll welcome you with open arms.
Superb. Well, Eric, thank you ever so much for being on the podcast. What a wonderful segment to finish on. Let's go and see if we can track down Charlotte.
Well, guys, I wasn't going to let you have all the fun in this incredible clubhouse. And as we've learned here, Ashton United, there are many friends to make. And I'm delighted to say that I've got Andy and Patrick alongside me, two volunteers at the club. Andy, firstly, tell me a little bit about your role and the time that you give here.
My role essentially is community development officer. But first and foremost, I was a secretary of the football club, doing all the football player administration. I've been in that role about 12 years now, came as a volunteer. I've been a driver for 32 years at the Daily Mirror, and I used to do it as a volunteer. So I've been where a lot of the volunteers have come from. And then I had the opportunity to be a full-time employee of Ashton United in the community. So worked out the work-life balance, and I decided to take that role on.
Well, we'll come on and find out a little bit more about what that role entails. But Patrick, I know that you have a very important role at the football club. You were there to meet and greet people and look after the car park. Tell me more.
Yeah, I meet and greet people at the come in. I help them park the car up for them, and yeah, that's what I do.
It's a very important job, and I should say that you are a father and son duo, so you spend a lot of your time here. Just how important a role has the club served you as a family, and how nice is it to come and spend this time together and make a real contribution to your local
let
community?
Me answer that.
Go on then, Patrick, you answer that one.
For me and my family, it'd be a journey, because we never, ever, ever come to Ashton United before. We were volunteering at Bury Junior at the time. We went off able one day, he appeared at the United Football Club. I said to my dad, oh, a football club here, can we volunteer today? Yeah, okay, yeah, let me look into it. And my dad went to have an interview for the secretary job. And then here we are.
And here we are.
9 years ago later.
So Andy, there we go. 9 years later, you're still both volunteering at the football club. It's interesting to hear how you saw that advert. You were then interviewed. The club listened to you and what you enjoyed, and in turn gave you roles and responsibilities to add value to the operations here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. I think first and foremost, I'm an Ashton lad, born just up the road. And I've always had an affinity with the football club. When I used to play football when I was a boy, we played school finals here. And that was my first affinity with the club. And then obviously we had a brief spell in Bury, like Patrick said. I was the secretary of the Bury Juniors, which was attached to Bury Football Club. And then when we moved back to Ashton, I seen the advert for the secretary's job. And as I'd done it at Bury before, I was interviewed by the financial director and the then chairman, Dave Aspinall. And then that's where that journey started. And then obviously me coming to the football club, Patrick being a young boy, and it was just great. And everyone's just welcomed him terrifically. So it's been more of a journey for our family, because my wife actually does the tea bar at Ashton United as well. So it is, and then my older son is a steward as well. So it's a family affair.
That's brilliant. You know,
it's been a great journey. And one that I hope continues.
Patrick, you are so lovely and friendly. I can understand why you are the meter and greeter on a match day. Tell me what it feels like when you are here and part of that countdown to 3 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. Do you enjoy it?
It feels like a family to me, because when I came here, I worried about if I didn't meet the right people. I met D-Rob, the fight timer. He freed me like over arm. Yeah. I met lovely people. I met Zakitini, the fan. Yeah. I met Zakitini. I met everyone here who welcomed me into the club.
And I'm hearing and seeing the joy that this football club gives to Patrick, which must make you very, very proud as a parent, but also knowing that there's a safe, inclusive football club that, as Patrick says there, opens him with open arms and opens anyone that wants to walk through the turnstiles.
I think that was the essential part why he's enjoyed it so much and why we are quite relaxed about him being here, because previously we couldn't kind of sort of get him into anything, any kind of organisation. But as Patrick has quite well said, when he came in, everyone just welcomed him with open arms, yeah. Especially the charity, Steve as well, because Steve's a big character around here. He's he's a superb leader of the charity, and you know, sort of little bits of banter has just helped Patrick to grow from a 13, 14-year-old boy, obviously with special needs, to a 27-year-old sort of little gentleman, to be honest with you, because he's so polite to the members and the customers that come in through the turnstiles, and everybody knows him, yeah, and everybody loves him.
You've all been so warm and lovely to us as well on the In the Box podcast, and we thank you so much for that. Final question, yeah. Patrick, if there's someone listening to this who's thinking about volunteering, maybe inspired by the role and the volunteering that you do, what words of encouragement would you give them?
Don't worry about anything. They'll come down, fill out a form, it only take 5 or 10 minutes, follow a steward or a barber or whoever, then go away to have a think about it. I come back the next day, we will all give you an iPad and a lanyard to be a part of our youth, our United family.
Fantastic advice.
We all done a love to see you that we are. If you want to be our United volunteer, get in touch today with either the secretary or a general manager or a fighter. Let's get you ready to let go.
Patrick, you're making me want to sign up and come and volunteer here. Where's the form? Where can I fill it in?
Elon Musk.
Andy, finally, I mean, those words there that Patrick have said kind of sum up the passion. For those that are listening in, because there's a lot of people that perhaps will listen to this episode, there might be some that are feeling a bit lonely, there might be some that have just gone into retirement looking for a way to fill their time. Volunteering at their local football club or league might just well be the answer for them.
Well, we've had quite a number of people over the years that, for those exact reasons why they come and volunteer at Ashley United. It's such a welcoming place. And again, isolation, you know, people with depression and things like this, and, you know, obviously, battling mental health and what have you. It's a great way to meet people, meet new people, and just sort of, you know, make them feel better about themselves.
Well, look, thank you both so much for having a chat with me. Really, really appreciate your time. It is time to leave the clubhouse now, because we know that all football clubs obviously operate around a first team, which in itself needs some volunteers. So let's go and see who we can speak to over at the training ground.
Okay, go over to you.
I'm gonna lose my job.
So that was fantastic to be outside and be alongside the first team in action. I'm joined by the first team manager, Steve Cunningham. Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having us and thank you for the coverage.
No, absolutely. So the theme of this podcast is all about volunteers and the workforce and what makes a club like Ashton United tick. For yourself as first team manager, how important is it to have the support and the structures above for you to be able to do your role?
Yeah, it's massive. I think, obviously, you're the pillar of a community, any football club at any level, whether that's from the Premiership down to grassroots level, which, as you can see, at the venue we're at today. But in terms of a structure, we've got some fantastic people involved at the club that allow us to have an environment where we can enjoy it and be successful. But at Ashton United, we are very lucky because we've got a band of volunteers that go above and beyond at all different levels of the club. So whether they're on the board of directors as volunteers, the ground staff, the catering staff, even to the, you know, the non-match day volunteers that do some of the kit stuff for us behind the scenes before we even get there. They're all an integral part of what we are as a football club, and to be successful, we do rely on these people.
And obviously, being a player yourself, I played semi-pro, sometimes when you're a player, you don't fully appreciate the volunteers, but I know you do a lot with your players to show that appreciation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course I can, yeah. I do think it's it's well known in non-league football, especially financially now, there's quite good money in non-league, especially the National League, National League North and South, and even our division. And you get a lot of players that drop down from the bigger leagues into our divisions, and they've maybe not had that interaction with volunteers because they're kept away from a lot of the sort of staff from outside of the dressing room. For us as a non-league club, I've been there and done it. I know what it means to people. So even though they're a volunteer, they are a supporter of that football club, and it means more to them winning 3 points than it does to me as the manager or a player. So the players have to appreciate these people, and I've made it mandatory that when we turn up at a match day, not even just a hello, go and spend time with them, understand who they are, get to know them on first name terms, spend time with them, understand what their story is, why do they do what they do, because they don't get paid. And then after every game, win, lose, or draw, we do make sure that the players go over, not just the supporters, but we make sure that they do a bit of a lap of where the canteen is, and the sort of match day preparation staff can see it, and they can all shake hands and be a part of what we're doing. Again, as I said, win, lose, or draw. They're just really important to us as a club. I don't know why they're laughing. We got beat on Tuesday. But no, in terms of those people, it's important that they feel a part of what we are. We're not just a dressing room of 16, 17 people. Yeah. It's a wider community within the football club, and we have to make sure that they feel a part of that.
And obviously the beauty of non-league as well, like especially when you're playing at home, the players get to go back into the clubhouse and actually mingle with the volunteers that have made sure the match day has been ready for them. And what's that environment like?
It's brilliant. I mean, you've been to the football club today. You can see the work that the chairmen, David and Jonathan Burke, have both done in terms of making it an environment people can come and enjoy being in for a start off. I mean, I've come from prior clubs where, you know, the volunteers are equally as important at the clubs that don't have our facilities. You're going into a clubhouse that's two porta cabins, you know, nailed together, wind blowing one of them away. So when they can come to Ashley United in the Crossbar and they can be involved in not just the actual on-field activities, but after a game, you're going in the bar after. You know, we've got a bit of an area that the players will have to have the food first. But I move that barrier that you've seen today right out the way, because it's not an inclusive club. An exclusive club. We want to get everybody involved. So all the kids who are waiting, you know, they don't follow United and City and Liverpool and all the other clubs available. They love Ashley United, so they should be able to come in and be a part of that and get, you know, sit with the players. But their parents are the ones who we're engaging in and actually encouraging to be a volunteer. Yeah. And the easiest way to them is if the kids like coming, they'll come, and then you've got them then, aren't you? You can get them involved. So it's all part of the strategy of the football club, bringing people to watch but be a part of it. It's not a case of just come and hand your money over at the turnstile to pay for players' budgets. Come and be a part of the football club yourselves.
And you say it's the strategy of the club, but a lot of what you're saying is just common sense. And I think a lot of the clubs out there don't necessarily think of these things and might try and seclude the players away from fans, volunteers, but what you're doing here is obviously reaping the benefits.
Yeah, I mean, the club does excellent, obviously, with the community stuff that they do, the charity. They've got a fantastically run charity that does a lot of work. You know, they do the homeless meals, they've got the pantry, they've got the elderly clubs as well. Volunteers can come in all different forms. It doesn't have to be a young, strapping, fit person that has to carry stuff about. It can be an older guy that loves football. It might have, you know, lost his partner years ago, he's looking for something, and just having a sense of belonging. He could go and stand on a turnstile and hand out a programme and tell his stories of the time that he probably played for Ashley United or any club that they're a part of. And I just feel like our club does a lot of work to try and entice these people. Football clubs love putting posters out and saying, oh, we need volunteers. Do they really go out and find those volunteers? And also, you've then got to look after these people as well. They're not just cheap staff, because I think that's the other thing as well. And there's a misconception that if you're a volunteer, you just get used for everything else and all the people that get paid and everything else that comes with that. But our volunteers are all looked after, a massive part of the club. And if we could pay them all as staff, then brilliant. Unfortunately, we just don't have those resources. So as volunteers, come and be a supporter first and foremost. Enjoy being part of the club, and the volunteering is just a bonus.
And I know, like you say, you'd try and pay them if you could, but the people we spoke to today, they do it because they love it, and Ashton United is a club that they love to be part of. But Steve, the coming of her, I best let you get back to training.
Yeah, take the mickey out of me if I don't crack on. So, no, I really appreciate your time.
No, thanks for having us.
Cheers, mate.
We'll go try and find Charlotte and Sarah, who are talking to some players.
So, Brad, what impact do the volunteers at Ashton United have on you?
The impact that the volunteers have at Ashton United is obviously massive to all the boys and the club in general. Obviously, everything that goes on behind the scenes is all to do with them. I know that the chairman's got a lot to do with, like, sort of charities and bringing people in from sort of outside in the community. And obviously, us as a football club, just we like to give back to the community as well.
And as a player, what do you value the most about the volunteers at the club?
I value the most from the volunteers. It's probably just purely the hard work that they do put in. They obviously make our life just way easier in and around the club, but we actually don't see too much of it. Obviously, we've got Joel's, who's the kit man, and obviously it doesn't just stop at the kit man with Joel's. He's in and out of the club all the time. He's the first one there. He's the last one out. So just purely the hard work that just makes our lives as footballers and obviously the coaching staff just easier in and around the place.
So the first question is, how much do you value the volunteers at Ashton United?
Yeah, I think I can speak for myself and everyone at the club. The volunteers are very highly valued at our club. I don't think we'd be able to run as a club, or definitely wouldn't run as efficiently as a club without them. So I think they're very, very highly valued.
And as a player, how do you feel that contribution from a volunteer? Like, how does it make your life a little bit easier having their support?
Yeah, I think it just means all those little 1%, all those little things that you probably don't see that go on behind the scenes, it just makes everything for us that little bit much easier. You know, you come to the ground, the pitch is ready, the changing room's ready to go, all the kit and everything's out. So it just makes everything just that little bit easier, so you don't have to stress about anything like that. So it just gives us the best possible opportunity.
We spoke to the manager earlier and he was explaining that it's a real focus on him, that as part of the culture, players, supporters really have that integration, particularly after games. Is that something that comes across to you as a player when you sign for a club like Ashton United?
Yeah, definitely. I think, to be fair, obviously the club do that themselves, but I have worked for this manager a couple of times before and he's always had a big thing for, especially after the game. You know, we win, lose or draw, we go over to the fans, obviously show them our appreciation, because a lot of the time as well they travel quite far, and then obviously after the game as well we all go into the bar and we try and make it so that we all spend at least 30 minutes in the bar just socialising with all the volunteers and all the supporters. And I think it's a good way to get a family feel around the club.
Finally, when the time comes and you have to hang up your boots, would you ever consider volunteering, and what kind of role might appeal to you?
I think when I do stop playing, I think obviously I do want to stay in football, so I think a volunteering role could be for me. I don't know where that would be, maybe some sort of possibly a kit man, maybe, because I know that they're in the change room a lot and they have a lot of obviously the banter with the players and stuff. I think that's the thing I'll probably miss quite a lot. It's just, you know, the banter with the lads in the change room and stuff, so maybe a kit man.
Thank you so much to Ashton United for hosting us for this episode of In The Box. It has been amazing and very humbling to come and meet some of the incredible volunteers here that help the club run day in, day out. Guys, what have been your main takeaways from today?
Well, there's so many, Charlotte, but I think my favourite one, and I think quite a few people said it, was the fact that there's that many different jobs that everybody out there has got the ability or the skill set or just the willingness to actually come into a club, take part and get involved, and just making them feel welcome is something that Ashton do so well.
How about you, Sarah?
For me, when you were speaking to the volunteers, it was about how they didn't really feel like it was a job. It never came out like that at all. It was all about having a sense of belonging and being part of a family, and they sort of enjoyed everything that they were doing. It didn't feel like a chore at any point. And I think that comes back to the culture that the club set around it, but I felt like that came through really strongly today.
Yeah, mine's not too dissimilar. I think Patrick's passion underlined everything about the football club, and it was infectious. Everyone said the same thing, didn't they, about it feeling like a family, the importance of actually listening to what a volunteer enjoys and then giving them a role accordingly. I thought was really, really special.
Yeah, and if you are a club that's looking to obviously give some specific roles, you need to check out the volunteer toolkit that we've just launched within the Clubhouse, our online community for leagues and clubs. Within that toolkit, you'll find all sorts of different role profiles that you'll be able to actually edit to suit your needs and advertise for them roles that you want filling at your club.
Well, look, training is nearly finished here, which leaves us enough time to say goodbye. Make sure that you subscribe so you get the next episode of In The Box. Until then, goodbye.